If you're an experienced improviser, if you're a seasoned improviser, I just wanted to let you know that I will be teaching my Artist Low Comedy Level 3 Advanced Ensemble starting September 5th at Green Shirt Studios here in Chicago. Now, this class is divided into two parts. The first part is we give you long-form tools, like how to use a suggestion that doesn't bog you down and get in your way, how to make edits using your natural instincts, and how to do walk-ons that aren't hijacking the scenes but actually support your scene partners. The second part of this class is we come up with a form that plays to the strength of the ensemble, and then we rehearse it, and the last night of class, we put on a long-form performance that goes anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes in front of our family and friends. So you get real stage experience in front of a real audience, and you get real direct feedback from an experienced teacher and director like myself. If you're interested and you need more information, just go to my website at jimmycorain.com. That's jimmycorain.com, and that's called Artist Low Comedy Level 3 Advanced Ensemble.
Jimmy Corain's a nerd. Jimmy Corain's an improv nerd. Jimmy Corain's a nerd. Oh,
hey, everybody, this is Jimmy Corain, and you're listening to another great episode of Improv Nerd. Our guest today is TJ Jagodowski. He's one of the finest improvisers and people that I know. I was lucky enough to perform with him for a couple years on a team called Carl and the Passions at IO Chicago. He is best known as one half of the long-running improv show TJ and Dave. In this interview, which we recorded for WBEZ's Curious City about why Chicago is considered the mecca of improv. Now, for that Curious City piece on WBEZ, I actually hosted it. And when they ran that piece originally, they just ran clips of the interview. But last week, I got some good news. Jesse Dukes, who's a producer over there, contacted me and said that they had liked the interview so much that I did with TJ that they were going to run an edited version as a podcast on their website. And they said we could run it as an episode of Improv Nerd. Now, theirs is about 16 minutes. This is about 20 minutes. I can't tell you how excited I am about this, because in this interview, TJ tells us his feelings about Chicago being the mecca of improv. He also gives us his working definition of yes and, which is not a textbook definition, and really gives you an inside look at how TJ's mind works. We also improvise off his definition of yes and I think that it will really blow your mind, especially if you are doing more honest, if you're looking to do more honest improv. He also tells us about why he's still in Chicago improvising today. Here it is. There was a lot I had to get out in that introduction, so I'm spent. And I'm just so grateful that I can bring this episode to you. Here it is, the TJ Jagodowski episode. Enjoy.
Jimmy's a nerd, he's a nerd, oh yeah. Jimmy's a nerd, he's a nerd.
We got a question from Ty McCarthy, and he was like, why is Chicago the improv mecca? All right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have some theories I'm going to just throw out at you. And one of the first ones is the history. You know, Viola Spolin, she started here, right, with the games and then a Compass and then the Second City. And then, of course, you know, all the people from Second City go on to Saturday Night Live, the Colberts, the Carells, the Farleys, the Tina Feys, the Amy Poehlers. How much does that play into the fact that we're the mecca?
I think that might be the largest part of it.
In terms of what?
It's history. That it was an origin point, you know, that real champagne came from Champagne, or, you know, cheddar cheese came from the town of Cheddar. That long form, and I might even specify long form improvisation, that was here. So if you wanted to get it, you had to come here.
The other part of this theory that I have is, because Chicago is Chicago, and it's not infected by show business like New York or Los Angeles, that helps us in terms of being almost pure in our improv.
Yes, I would agree with that, both because the opportunities for stardom usually don't reside right here.
I still have my fingers crossed.
Uh-huh. And I'm rooting for you too, Jimmy. If only to get you out of here, you know?
Thank you. It's kind of like that, you know, I've been in high school for 5 years. Like, we're just going right. to pass him. We're going to pass. He failed English, but we're going to pass him.
I don't know if he's ready for college, but he sure can't be here anymore.
Yeah, right.
And it also, like, you know, as you well know, however it came about, when you improvise on a regular basis, you assume that you'll be doing it for free. That, and often you pay for the privilege to be able to improvise by taking classes or whatever. And I think by the fact that you're not, that money is not involved, compensation is not involved, that it becomes clear as to why you must be doing this. You must really like this, or you must really enjoy being around these people, or what have you. And so I think there is an aspect of that as well, that because the stardom isn't here. I think I was thinking about this, that it's in many ways, I think Chicago for a lot of people, if not the Mecca, it's their alma mater. You know, like you come here, you learn, and you might then find your stardom somewhere else, but you come here to hit your school.
And why do you think that is? Because we have a mutual friend, Kevin Dorff, and mm-hmm. I remember him coming back, and, you know, he wrote for Conan, and he came back and he was like, you know, this is some of the best years of my life. He looks mm-hmm. back at Chicago fondly.
Yeah. I think, I mean, in the nice way, it's the grind. You know, a lot of people look back at the time before they made it as being, that was the best time of my life, for whatever reason. People look back, I had nothing to eat, lived on someone else's couch. Gosh, was that great. You know, like, you don't think it at the time, but when you can turn around and stare at it, like, oh, you know what, being in prison, that was the best part of my life. You know,
right.
4 years I did.
Yeah, nobody, and, you know, I didn't know, you know, my days were planned.
Yeah,
out,
I had my own room, you know. Because I think, you know, you get your chops here. You know, you do your work, and you really are allowed to, like, not be noticed. You know, like, because there aren't agents in the audience. There isn't a producer looking to come get you, and the freedom of that sort of shared anonymity allows you to take some chances and occasionally do really wonderful things, and you're not by yourself, you know, like your primary regard is for your teammates, for your scene mates. And so I think maybe that changes once you go to a coast, that your concern isn't for them. Now your concern is for you.
Okay. The other part of my theory about Chicago being the Mecca.
Correct. Yes. Please.
Okay. Can you just say that Chicago is the Mecca? Because I'm very insecure about this.
I think it still holds that title, but I don't know if that will be a permanent title.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
In what way? How do you think we're losing our relevance?
I think now that there are full generations on both the coasts that have been raised on, taught by people who were raised in and taught by just folks who came up there. Like, so, you know, like UCB goes out, you know, and basically actually puts its foot in New York.
Right.
You know, stays there, establishes itself. There are generations of UCB improvisers who were not taught by Chicago people there anymore, but were taught by New York people who were taught by New York people. And I think as those things establish themselves, then there will be a legitimacy to that, not as an export from Chicago, but its own thing. You know, there is a New York improv scene now that doesn't have to thank Chicago for its existence.
So let me throw this out at you. New York and LA,
mm-hmm.
okay, very expensive cities.
Yeah.
Quality of life and cost of living is substantially less in this city.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a car like you do in LA.
Cost of living higher.
Higher in those
right.
LA
quality
and New York.
Of life lower. Or
yes.
Whatever, yeah.
Okay. How does that play into holding on to this status?
I won't claim that part.
Okay.
Because then Greensboro, you know, Greensboro, Alabama should, right. if we all just moved down there, we'd have a new Mecca.
Right.
Because we could all buy land, mm-hmm. you know. I don't buy that one as much.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about that we have four institutions, okay, and we have a lot of other offshoots of these institutions. And we have really good training centers that have long histories.
I will buy that.
And that we're also open, and there's a lot of cross-pollination. I can take classes at Annoyance. Yep. I can do shows at Second City. I can take classes at IO and do shows. How much does that help us?
I think that helps. I think that helps.
In what way?
That it's done more in more places, more often by more people here than anywhere else. It might be a little Pollyannish, but it has been my experience that really, you know, for the people that I've liked and the people that I think are really good improvisers and the leaders of these places said, what we're trying for first and foremost is to be great at this. We just want to make good stuff. We want to make good improvisation. We want to make good sketch. And I don't care where you took your classes. I don't care where you grew up. I don't care, like, any of this other stuff. Because what we're trying as a community of improvisers is to get better at this thing that is bigger and better than all of us. That I think is you know, tremendously important.
In terms of improv, and in terms of, you know, a lot of people when they say to me like, oh, you teach improv or you do improv, they always say, well, how can you teach improv? Mm-hmm. All right. There is a concept called yes and.
Mm-hmm.
What does yes and mean to you?
It means to me that we agree that this is what we're doing right now.
And so we agree on we're in the space, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the and part of it?
I know the book answer, and it's that doesn't suffice for me.
Give me the book answer. What would be the book answer?
You don't deny, and then you add, more information. Yes, we are at the beach, and I can't wait to go swimming. I don't want to see that scene.
Why don't you want to see that scene?
It's dull. You can suffice the textbook and bore the living hell out of people. The larger sense of yes and as agreement is this is really happening. I am really with you. What we're experiencing is a current and real existence. That's the yes, and I'm going to stay here with you. That's what it means.
So we're going to agree on the reality, and that is it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's give an example. Mm-hmm. Would we start with a suggestion here?
Whatever you would like.
Okay, great.
That is not to me.
Okay. So let's just find it together. Okay. And okay.
Mm-hmm.
So for those listeners, we're starting in silence.
But we are looking at each other.
We are looking
and
at each
that,
other.
There is something.
There is depth. There's a lot of stuff in it. Yeah.
And Andy will be back in a minute.
Okay.
We can get started.
So. Okay, great.
I think he was grabbing water or snacks.
Oh,
or,
cool, yeah. Cool, cool.
Yeah.
Can I have a cookie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those?
Yeah, but it's in the...
Yeah.
It's sealed in the box.
You can unwrap it. You can unwrap that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
Should I wait for Andy? Or?
No, he's bringing other snacks
and
water. You're probably going to want to have some sort of liquid with it.
Okay, cool.
They're famously crummy.
Oh! I thought you meant crummy like they're bad. You're saying crummy.
No,
like, when you get in your, I'm gonna get.
You're gonna want water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you have napkins? Because I don't want to get a lot of crumbs on, you know, on my pants and stuff. Because this is important to me.
We can ask Andy if he'll go yet again back out to grab a napkin.
But said I don't want to inconvenience him.
Well, the kitchen is just.
Oh. Okay.
If it was right around the corner, I would have grabbed it for
great.
You. But yeah, and then we'll get started. As soon as Andy gets back, we'll get started.
He's been gone for 20 minutes now.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell of a college career, my man.
Yeah,
we're
thank
excited
you.
About having
thank
you on the
team. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We'll go through the particulars of the contract as soon as Andy gets back
great.
With the water.
But great.
Looking forward. It should be a good season.
Yeah. When he comes back, I'd like to FaceTime my family. They're in Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah, and so they're very excited.
If you want to get started on that now, then, you know, just so that we're not waiting for Andy and then waiting for
sure,
the FaceTime.
Sure, I can do that.
I can
do that.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Yeah, we'll go
do
through
I need a no, I do you, I'm not getting it on my phone. Is there a Wi-Fi code?
You should be you know what? Try
I'm doing it off my iPad.
Okay, try this. Try this.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
K. Capital K.
K.
Four.
R.
Capital R.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll just specify if it's lowercase.
Why don't you, could you?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. I'm going to have to give
you. Is this your cat?
Yeah, that's my cat.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's
locked up again. You're going to have to unlock that for a second and we'll get right on that.
Great. Okay. I call my cat Trojan.
Oh, yeah. Who are you?
Yeah, because I was a big Trojans fan.
Oh, not because you played there?
Well, I mean, I ended up playing there,
right.
But yeah.
But
when I was a kid, yeah. My agent told me that it's important to create some sort of rapport and just talk about. It's 4443. That's my code.
Okay, good. Okay. Halfway through this Wi-Fi thing. Hang on a second.
I could do it with my fingerprint, too.
I'm trying to listen, but hang on one second. Okay. I'm just trying to get the Wi-Fi thing in
okay.
there. And if you do me the favor, once this goes through, if you could not remember this, we just don't want people using the facility's
sure,
Wi-Fi.
Sure, I totally understand. Of course, when I sign, I'll have, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, then you just keep it in there and stuff. But we'll go through the particulars of the contract. It's pretty incentive-based.
Yeah.
Just so you
know, that's what my agent said.
Yeah, there won't be that much. There you go. There won't be that much upfront money, but you know, on the field performance is really going to pay dividends for.
And then in terms of housing, they said that.
What, like a dorm?
Yeah.
You want us to find you a dorm?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. We could work. You don't want like a. You want an apartment or
no, I want a
house?
Dorm. No, I want to be like everybody else.
Okay. Well, most of the guys on this level, they got their houses and, you know, some of them are married and stuff. So, you know, like.
Right. I'd like to be in a dorm. I'm not going to. I'd like to have a dorm. Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Is that going to be a deal breaker?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, the closest college is Southeast Missouri State. So you'll be just.
It's 20 minutes, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we'll find you some. Yeah, I guess we'll ask. You're gonna have roommates and stuff like that.
Cool.
Mostly, who are still in college.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're getting $16 million up front.
I know.
Okay.
So I probably could buy the whole dorm.
Or
I want
a house.
You to buy a whole building.
Yeah, you could get a nice house for yourself.
Yeah.
Too.
Hmm.
But you know, hey, whatever you want. As soon as Andy gets back, we'll go through all this and. Get you squared away.
Okay, great. So tell me about our agreement there.
Yes, that this is actual, right? And I'm certain at some point we probably said no to each other.
No on the the details.
Yeah, or
specifics.
Like, but a real no is better than a fake yes, right? That if. If at some point in there, you know, you had said, I want you to hold this bomb for me, it's all right for me to say no, because what we're agreeing on is that this is real, this is happening, this is actual. That kind of no would be valid because it's answering no to a higher
is it almost,
level of agreement.
And is it okay to say, like, that would be my honest reaction? Because if I was in a situation and you said, hey, Kale, can you hold this bomb? Most people, I'd say 99% would be honest response would be, no, I don't want to hold the bomb.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right, because what you're saying yes to is, this is real. This is actually happening. This is what you're asking me to do.
I'm almost hearing like there's only one yes, and it's the big yes, and that is this is what's going on.
Yeah.
This is our reality.
Yeah. Yep. That's what yes and means to me. That's
and cool. What is it about improv that you love when you want to do it? You know?
I really hate repeats. I hate repeats. And
of television shows?
Of anything. If I've seen it before, if I've heard it before, if I've read it before, outside of music, I don't want to.
Do you
see
get like
it,
violently
it.
Like?
No, I just don't want to do it. Like, I like, you know, there are people who watch the same movie 20 times and they want to memorize it and they want to learn every moment of it. I don't want to see that movie anymore. I know how this thing ends. Like, so what are we doing here? If I already know how this ends.
Had you had that? Like, how long? When did you realize you had that? It had to be at a young age, I would imagine.
I guess. I mean, To Kill a Mockingbird is my favorite book ever. I've read it once, you know, and it's the best thing I've ever read. I don't want to read it again. I know how it ends. I would be at IO every single night. For years, I was there every single night because potentially the best thing happening anywhere in the world was going to happen that night on that stage. That I couldn't, at the time, I couldn't say that for any other place on earth.
And what have you taken from improv and applied them into your life?
I wouldn't say I've drawn straight lines from those that I've, you know, purposely said, well, this works in improvisation. I'm going to apply this to my life. I think I was raised curious, and that helped my improvisation. Improvisation places a high priority on listening. That has helped my life to look to understand before I negate. You know, I don't know where these things started, if they started in my life and helped on stage or started on stage and helped me in life. But wherever they began, they cross-pollinated well.
Now, the thing I admire about you, because you've had the coast knock at your door several times that I'm aware of, and you didn't open the door, or you opened the door, you said, come on in, I don't know if this is for me, and you've remained here. Mm-hmm. You've remained here. Why is that, you think?
I think the primary reasons are twofold. One, I have massive anxiety, something like the pressure of stardom or a TV show or something would not sit well with my constitution. Secondly, I fell in love with improvisation more than anything else. And as long as it was being done here better than anywhere else, more often than anywhere else, in more places than anywhere else, then this was my home. Add to that, I like the people. I like how many there are here as opposed to New York. I like how they are here as opposed to Los Angeles. I think the city is beautiful. There's a lot to love about Chicago anyway. Add to that improvisation, then like why would I go anywhere else? I don't want those other things.
And you know I'm going to ask this question. How have you made peace with the people? And I haven't, so this is for me. The people that we started out with, and they've gone on to TV shows, and they've gone on to Saturday Night Live.
Great, great. I mean, it's helped by the fact that I don't want it.
How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, how does that one work?
Let me get my pen. I can't make you do it because you want it.
Right.
I would have been wrecked on SNL.
And hell, you had opportunities, right?
I had an opportunity to go further than I did. Right. I had an opportunity to audition further along the line than I did. But the sheer pressure and tension of that, it would have wrecked me. I had enough problems. I had enough problems of my own without that added on.
Right.
So I didn't want it. So in that way, luckily, I'm free to just enjoy my friend's success in that way because they did want it. And they got it, and I couldn't be happier for them. It's extremely rare that I see a friend do something that I get jealous about because they wanted it more than I did. They wanted that thing more than I did. What I wanted was to become important to the improvisational community here, to be respected by my peers, to be welcome in the places that I wanted to be able to walk into, and I got that.
TJ, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And there you have it. Another great episode of Improv Nerd is in the can. I want to thank our guest today, TJ Jagodowski. I also want to thank the people over at WBEZ, Curious City, Alexandra Solomon, Jesse Dukes, and Laura Pavin. And check out all the great stuff that Curious City does at wbez.org/curiouscity. That's wbez.org/curiouscity. For more information about me, Jimmy Corain, and my award-winning classes, intensives, and workshops called The Artist Slow Comedy, go to my website at jimmycorain.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at improv_nerd, and like our Improv Nerd fan page, because it really helps with my low self-esteem, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is clips from our interviews, video clips from our interviews. All you have to do is go to Improv Nerd Podcast, all one word. Improv Nerd Podcast, all one word, over at YouTube. And of course, I want to thank you for listening. And until next time, remember, walk, don't run.